passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And there's just the pure competition factor, like JJ said. Some guys that shouldn't be in the minor leagues anymore that are still there waiting, marinating, and they don't have a spot for them. No Holiday, no Mayo, but Cowser's up for the Baltimore Orioles. Let's do a prospect profile. Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Carlos Collazo with me, Scott Braun. So, JJ, do you like the decision by the Orioles to call up Colton Cowser to the opening day roster, but leave back Cobie Mayo and Jackson Holiday?
This is a team that has really rich man problems at this point, even though they're a low revenue, low salary team, because most teams would have all three of these guys up because these would be the slam dunks. But the Orioles are a team that has more players than they have spots right now. And this kind of gives them time to figure it out because they do have a Santander. They do have, Austin Hayes. They do have a Cedric Mullins. They do have, a lot of these guys. And they still have to figure out how this all fits together. But they couldn't keep Colton Cowser off this roster because, impressively for him, he has answered the biggest question they had. He really struggled. He struggled all around after he came up last year. But there was a real concerns about how well he's going to hit lefties. And it was spring training, small sample size theater, all that. But he had six homers in spring training. Three of them are against lefties. That's a really encouraging sign to see a guy making that step forward, adding that polish to something that was very much kind of on his to-do list, and adding him to a lineup that already is kind of one of the better lineups in baseball, won 101 games last year. Well, here we go.
Yeah, and Cowser is a guy who really can do everything on the baseball field. He can hit for high average. He can hit for some power. He can run. He can play all three outfield positions and play them reasonably well. I think probably expect him to be an above average defender in a corner and maybe solid average in center field. But he can just do a lot of things for you. And JJ mentioned the improvements against left-on-left matchups. I think that'll still be something that I'm curious to see moving forward. How often does he even get opportunities to get into those left-on-left at-bats? And then if he does get the opportunities, is it a real step forward and a real jump for him? Colton Cowser is a guy who, going back to his amateur days, has always been a really advanced pure hitter. He's got a great approach at the plate, like a number of Orioles prospects in the system currently. He was taken high in the draft because of his hitting chops, and he's continued to hit and to improve and to get better. And I think with a lot of players like this, Colton Cowser doesn't really jump off the page in terms of raw power, but I feel like hitters like this tend to get to a little bit more than maybe you think they're going to, because they are such good pure hitters. They have great approaches at the plate. They're selective. They know when to fire off their A swing and when to hold back. So I just think Cowser is a really well-rounded prospect. Even if he's maybe not the most explosive or most exciting or high upside prospect in the system, he is older now. He's proven it at the upper minors. I think he is ready for a regular full-time spot in the majors.
Right. He's 24 years old, JJ. But can I make the case that young Orioles players will actually feel a lot of heat? Two reasons. One, they're going to be in the thick of a playoff, if not division race, in the AL East. Number two, there's so much competition. Like, if Colton Cowser struggles out of the gate, there are too many other outfielders, both young and veteran, that are a part of the mix. Some of those guys will be gone most likely in the future. I don't know if we'll have a Santander, a Hayes, even maybe a Mullins in the future, because there are so many young guys and maybe they're just choosing to kind of implement their payroll differently. There's also an ownership change going down, so we'll see how that plays out. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really struggle for long because they're like, we got to win games and we have too many other players here.
You mentioned Holiday. You mentioned Cobie Mayo. We could mention Heston Kjerstad. We could mention Connor Norby. We could keep going. Samuel Basayo is not that far away. He reached double A last year. There's just... yes, you have players that you're having to basically push out of spots because, as you said, this is a team that returns almost everyone as far as their lineup from last year's team. That one, you know, that was one of the was the first 100-plus game winner in the, for the Orioles have had for a very long time. So you bring everyone back from that, but then as you're trying to basically chip away and carve out your spot on the big league roster now, you're right. You don't have much time to kind of show what you can do, because if not, there's probably someone right behind you who is going to say, hey, give me that chance because I'm ready for the opportunity as well. This is a challenge that the Orioles are going to face in 2024. It's a good challenge to have, but prospects can grow stale. I look at a guy like a Connor Norby right now who will be headed back to AAA, but already has significant AAA time. They traded a Joey Ortiz, I think, partly for the reason like this. But we're going to see a Kobe Mayo. When is he ready? Work on his defense a little bit. But Kowser is the guy who has earned that spot now. And I would say if I'm him, I would look at it as I've got 200 plate appearances to kind of solidify myself here before the next wave comes up behind me.
I mean, this might be a negative look at things, but could this hurt their system if there's this much competition? First off, Carlos, they have to pick the right players. Like, they traded away Ortiz and Hall, you know, and you hope that the guys that you choose turn into the superstars, and maybe they were a little bit lower on those two, right? Hmm. So there's that factor, and there's just the pure competition factor, like JJ said. Some guys that shouldn't be in the minor leagues anymore that are still there waiting, marinating, and they don't have a spot for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's only beneficial for the organization. Obviously, you have to do the job of identifying the right players to move, the right players to keep. But I think the Orioles are in a position that every other general manager and every other organization in baseball would love to be in, just having this surplus of upper minors, impactful, major league ready or very near ready talent. It's a great problem to have, especially if this is going to be a team that just doesn't spend towards the middle of the market on major league payroll. If you have all these young players coming up, you're going to be able to flip veterans to fill some holes. Even if they are really high on guys like Deal Hall and Joey Ortiz, they brought back an ace by trading those players away. So they're going to have an ability to make moves and to see which players are performing, which players aren't performing. If everyone is performing, that's still fantastic for them. Trade away some guys, add some more pitching, fill some holes you need. Eventually, the players that are performing and playing will get a spot. They'll force their way onto the team. And the players who don't, that's just the nature of the beast. I don't think that's too different from any other team. You just have a real strong collection of young talent in this system right now. So yes, there's going to be pressure on all these players to perform. But I think even if you're a top prospect in a system where you maybe see a clear opportunity, there's still the pressure to perform. So from the player perspective, I think it's probably business as usual. All these guys want to show that they're the guy that needs to be out there. They're not really looking at a depth chart and kind of comparing themselves and wondering when their opportunity is going to come. So it's a good spot to be in if you're a Baltimore fan.
JJ, did the Orioles make the right call? It's very difficult. Be careful right now to criticize Mike Elias. I mean, he's looked at as being the top dog right now, I guess. Now, remember, the Orioles went through a lot of pain to get to this point. I mean, it was pure tanking, the buzzword that's used often in our sport, to get to this point. They were one of the worst teams. They kind of got rid of all of the talent that they had on the big league roster. They nailed some of their drafts, and they've nailed some of this development to be in this fortunate position. But right now, did they make the call by cracking spring training with Colton Kowser up and players like Mayo and Holiday waiting in the wings?
It's hard not to give them the benefit of the doubt on this because, as you said, they've made so many decisions the right way over the last couple of years. It is true. Colton Kowser is an example of a player who they got, and you could say it's from tanking, because he is a top pick that they got at the point where they had already been bad, and they were accepting the fact that they were going to stay bad for a while until they got good. And they did get good, I would say, quickly when it finally happened. They had a pretty remarkable turnaround, one of the best turnarounds in a two-year span. We don't see teams improve by 50 games in a two-year span, which is what they did. But they also won 101 games last year before the benefits of tanking got there, because pretty much last year, the guys that they had, you can say Adley Rushman, Gunnar Henderson, those were 2019 draftees.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, it's a very fortunate position to be in. Most GMs, owners, managers, definitely fans, are jealous of where the Orioles are right now. I mean, they're a juggernaut major league team, and they have the best farm system too. So here comes Colton Kowser, and hopefully it's for good. The 24-year-old's up in the bigs. Subscribe to the Baseball America YouTube channel for more content like this, and we'll see you on the next Prospect Profile.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
You know how you make a name for yourself? Sign an extension in the offseason for millions of dollars. Some people are like, who's Colt Keith? Let's learn about him right now with this BA Prospect Profile. JJ Cooper, Carlos Collazo, I'm Scott Braun. JJ, who is Colt Keith? Because the Tigers have not been relevant the last few years. They're trying to get back on track, and Keith is going to be up on the big league roster right from the jump. He's a big dude, and I truly believe that he made a name for himself by signing an extension before he hits the big 6 years, $28.6 million. Is it worth it?
Yeah, because this is one of the best. Now, this is the Tigers. Like you said, they haven't been relevant in a while. And when you talk about Tigers and developing position players, homegrown position players, you know, you're not going back to Trammell and Whitaker, but you're not going, you don't have a whole lot of guys since then, sad to say. Colt Keith could help change that. Obviously, they already have Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Spencer Torkelson. They've started to develop some of these guys. But Colt Keith could end up being as good or not better, if not better, at the plate than some of those guys, because Keith is a guy who should be able to hit for average and power. The exit velocities are already impressive, but his ability to do that while making consistent contact is pretty special. Then now the big question is going to be, how good is he defensively? And I think he could be good enough. I think he has the want to, the desire to turn himself into a playable second baseman, which is really, if he hits like we expect, all that you need from him. But Carlos, if I'd have told you coming out of the draft that Colt Keith would be a, you know, the Tigers' everyday second baseman, would that have seemed plausible to you, or would it have been more of like, oh, I don't think he can handle that defensive?
You know, actually, coming out of the draft, Colt Keith was playing shortstop, and there were questions at the time if he was going to stick at the position. Well-founded questions, it turns out. But he was a pretty impressive athlete. He had 60-grade running ability at the time, 60-grade arm strength, 60-grade raw power. I think at this stage, the raw power is one of those plus tools that we still feel pretty confident in. But you're right. If he can be a plus hitter with plus power and just a fringy defender at second base, I think the Tigers will be thrilled with that. I mean, he's a guy who has produced consistently in the minor leagues at the upper levels of the minors. He hits the ball hard. There are some strikeouts that comes with that, but I think he does a nice job lifting the ball and pulling the ball consistently enough to tap into that power. I heard last year from a few scouts who were kind of sneaky, still excited about the adjustments he could continue to make as a defender, because I think that athletic foundation is still there, even if he doesn't move around as exceptionally as he used to coming out of high school. So I'm curious to see how he looks at second base, even if the expectation at this point for Colt Keith is that he's going to be very much a bat-first prospect who you're just kind of living with defensively. If he can make the plays that come to him, knock down the routine plays and convert those, you'll be happy. But I am curious how he develops defensively in the big league level when everything gets a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. It'll be fun to see.
Do you guys have comps? Like, is this Dan Uggla with more of a hit tool, or I don't know, just trying to look for a bat first, second baseman, moving a position. What do you think, JJ?
Okay, it's not a perfect comp because I think that Edward Julian and him are very different how they get to their offense. But at this time last year, if you'd have told me that Edward Julian was going to get himself to be a 45 defender at second base, I'd have probably been very skeptical. And then you saw him last year do a really good job at the big league level of continuing to work at it, get better and better. And so I bring him up because Julian was an example of a bat first guy who the question was, can he play second base? Last year, he showed he could. He showed he could even for the Twins all the way into the playoffs for them. I think Colt Keith, it's not crazy to think that maybe he can do the same kind of thing where you get him into the lineup because of his bat, but if he keeps working at it, you turn around at the end of the year and you say, you know, he's okay there. He's okay there at second. It's interesting. A year ago, the Tigers had Colt Keith kind of at third base, Jace Young at second. Now they've kind of flipped them because I think that maybe they both fit better at those kind of opposite positions. But the key thing about all of this all fits with what I would say is kind of a new organizational philosophy for the Tigers, one that's probably going to pay off for the next few years, which is it used to be that the Tigers emphasized defense, they emphasized athleticism, and then they said a lot of times with the draftees, they would say, okay, let's see if we can help them hit. We can see if we can help them get to their offensive potential. Now, over and over, it's let's take bat first guys and let's see if we can improve their defense, which I do think is often easier to do. It's harder to help a guy learn how to hit than it is to take a guy who already can hit and help him work to get to where he can be a useful player defensively.
So I get that from a development standpoint, but then from a championship standpoint, run prevention becomes an obsession and it intensifies if you're a good team, especially come playoff time. So what I'm leading to is let's just draw up a worst case scenario. What if he's not kicking it correctly at second base at the big league level? What is the backup plan here? Because it sounds like he could be a first baseman, but you know, dude named Spencer Torkelson there. And even at the DH spot, the Tigers are starting to graduate players and put themselves in a good position there. I mean, looks like Kerry Carpenter will fill that role at least to start the season. So what do you do looking at the big league club and what's coming next for the Tigers if this doesn't work out the way that they have it planned?
He does have a first base. There are a number of guys for this Tigers team who first base, DH, left field are the fallbacks. But I do think that Keith also could end up being a left fielder. Right? As Carlos mentioned, this is not a guy who doesn't move at all. Left field could also be potentially an option if it doesn't work at second base. A Colt Keith, we have a Justin Henry Molloy, we have a Jace Young, and all of them could be said to be like defensively challenged, the guys who are going to have to continue to improve defensively, and you could run out of spots.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you look at a lot of these players, these young hitters in this Detroit organization at this point, and they are a lot of bat first players. So you really need to have Colt Keith look fine at second base. He doesn't need to be great. He needs to be playable there. Get his bat in the lineup at a non-corner spot, because you just listed a number of these players. Justin Henry Molloy, he's got to play left field at this point. Doesn't sound like he's doing too much over at third base. Jace Young, there are not a ton of other places he can play. You've got outfielders like Riley Green and Parker Meadows, who you're not going to get better defense than those guys if you're a Colt Keith. So I really think it's pretty important for him to play the position and play it well enough to stick there, because all these other guys we're talking about are corner players. And at that point, maybe you need a lot of strikeout artists in the rotation, so you don't have to rely on them as much as possible. But I do think that I would still be a little more on the optimistic side until Keith proves otherwise that he can be a playable and fine defensive second baseman.
No matter what, he's already got financial security. So I mentioned 6 years, 28.6 mil. That's through the 2029 season. If he's really good, they can keep him with club options for three more years. That would max out at around 9 years, $82 million, and take him through his age 30 season. Trivia question. Do you know a few other players that had a similar contract in terms of years and money? I've got two, and maybe I'm missing some, but I've got two that come to mind that were in the 6 year mid 20s range. Do you have any?
This sounds like the Kingery deal, right?
That's one. Scott Kingery. JJ, is that who you were thinking of?
Jonathan Singleton?
Singleton, although he was a little smaller, right? His was a little less.
Because it was enough years back that it was, yeah.
Yes. I've got one more for you. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Evan White.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
Evan White. I believe it was 624 for him as well, and I'll confirm it in a sec. And obviously, White was known for the glove, and you know that hasn't worked out for the Mariners, and he's since moved on to another ball club. But those are the two comps in terms of the contract range. I think you can make a very strong case that Colt Keith has a lot more bat than those two players, and easier to say now.
I'm going to take the over on – I'm going to take the Keith being the most productive of those contract extensions, which is a pretty low bar, I'll say that. I'm thinking he'll clear.
Yep, there you go. So, little trivia at the buzzer here. Thanks for checking out this Baseball America Prospect Profile. We do this all the time, so check back here for more BA Prospect Profiles when prospects get called up.